Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we're on, Scott.
Hey, Dick. Hey, how you doing, Don?
Yeah, I'm not Dick. I'm Don. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
It's a Monday.
I know. I know.
It's
a Monday, not a Sunday. We're just doing this as a get together before Sunday's show. Okay, not really.
There you go.
Real show, but it's not on a Sunday night. Okay, we got a lot of people. We did. I went and checked Twitter. We are almost at 27,840. When I started 5:30 goofing around, I came back and Twitter has taken 140 something people away from me. That happens on Twitter a lot. If you're not a full-blown Hillary Clinton lover, that's what happens. And I'm not. And they do take people away. People that follow
right.
us, they took away. So that's how it is. Now I'm under 20. Now I'm at 26,900. Yeah, they're taking. They take 50. One time they took 800 and something away from the show. Now it's back on a UAW
wow.
show. Yeah. So, anyway, we're building Twitter up for our show here, and we have a different set of rules on Twitter. Like if you say the word ASS, you better put a cash sign, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
If they don't want your content, they will take you right away. So.
Right. Yeah.
And two
so I
people
guess MF is out of the question.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. Somebody sent me something from about Mary Barra being interviewed today. If we have time, I'll play it. If not, we won't. And it, you know, I didn't know. I did not know she worked at Pontiac. On she didn't have a very hard job because she was in quality, but she did work on the line. And what surprised me, I didn't know that. And her father worked for 39 years at Pontiac. And General Motors sent her to GMI. And GMI, I think, college in the East. I'm not sure. I think it was an Ivy League. I'm not sure. And I did listen to it. But the memory is going quickly. And so if we have time, I will play some of it. Not all of it. It's 28 minutes long. And I did learn something. Three UAW members sent it to me from Twitter. That was nice. And
she went to Stanford.
Stanford. Oh boy, I wasn't even close.
So Stanford's on the East Coast, I believe. She did 2 years at the School of Business at Stanford. I apologize. Say it right. Stanford Graduate School of Business. She
I
attended
see.
From 88 to 90. They have her down at Kettering University.
Well, it was
you and
back
I.
Then, well, back then it was GMI.
Yep. General Motors Institute. And that's where they cultivated upper echelon management folks.
Yeah. Well, some of those supervisors that we had in the plant, they didn't take the best and brightest in the 70s anyway.
No. Well, we are talking about the 70s too, you know. So,
wow.
I remember the coveted thing was the ring from GMI. Remember the big gold ring?
When you got the ring, you didn't have to show the diploma or anything. You just showed them that. It got you into a lot of places back then.
Yeah.
You could golf at the best golf. Okay.
Actually, to say it back then, it was a different animal than what kettering is today.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And
yeah, of course.
It was a tough business school.
A friend of mine went there.
I know someone, and as well as one of mine, and it was tough.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yes, it was. It was very tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure some of our skilled trade back then could have aced it, though. I really do believe that. I work with a lot of...
Oh, I think so.
Very, very smart skilled trade workers. And I don't think...
there were some people on the line.
Well, maybe, but I know some lawyers that worked on the line and school teachers during the summer. But I worked with some skilled trade people that were just... It blew your mind how smart they had to be back then, though, Scott. Now things are ran by computers and everything, you know, you got to punch in this and that. Back then, you had to know what the hell you were doing.
Exactly. You had to know how to wire. You had to know how to run conduit. You had to, there's guys that, like the millwrights, you know, and machine repair guys. You had to know how these things work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and if you were a skilled trade, you could do all that stuff back then.
And it's sad to think that right now that you could lose cells, cells in which they build things, by 2D batteries, 4D cell batteries.
Mm-hmm.
That's the backup for the robots, for their computer system. That's their backup for the batteries. It's two or four D cell batteries.
Wow.
And that happens, that's across the industry wide. It's sad to think that, you know, if you lose your batteries, your robot goes down.
Right. And then if that goes down, you've asked the skilled trade, these new guys, I don't know. You know, and rightly so, they don't know. You know, that doesn't mean they're stupid. Is they weren't trained in all that, like Dick was, and others that we know. Man, these guys are whips. The people that retired before I did, and you know, that took, I think it was the big buyout or a good buyout or decent, whatever the hell you consider a good buyout. We lost a lot in our plant. And these guys could do any job there. They could just do it without even thinking. They were that smart. And I said, you know, I told a friend of mine, he had 40 years in. I said, I don't know what General Motors is going to do without you guys. Not a chance.
They're hurting now. I mean, it takes a lot of people in on skilled trades, on their apprenticeships. There has been for them all across General Motors.
They were asking for them before I left, Scott.
I'm trying to think I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, just before you retired, somebody had put out a study, and I think it might have been Cars, I think, was the name of the place down there by Detroit, the acronym. Center for Automotive Research, they call it Cars. They said that at that time, within the next 5 to 10 years, 70% of the skilled tradespeople at the American auto manufacturers would be eligible to retire. Now, if you know anything about the skilled trades, it's not just, you know, walk right in and get the job. You know, I mean, there might be a couple of positions where you could do something like that, depending on your schooling and your eligibility. But other than that, it takes 5 to 7 years.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It takes some time.
Yeah.
And that was at that time I thought they would have made a push. But of course, they didn't want to push. They wanted to combine the trades. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
They wanted to downsize them. And,
right. My friend that works at at Blog Talk, he just sent me a reminder that our show is on. That's nice. Another Einstein. He's listening. Thank you.
There was a time, though, when skill trades or Division II was the most sought after.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why not everybody went to skilled trades, because schooling involved, there was some physical exertion at times to be applied, I guess you could say. Physical activity would be hard at times. I mean, you know as well as I have, I've seen millwrights grab a big piece of wood to have to move a frame or move a carrier over.
Right.
And sometimes it took two of them to do it, you know. And it's dangerous. You know, you're working with high wattage, you know, the volts, you know, 400 volts, 500, 600 volts.
Yeah.
High water pressure. I think that we were losing the dying breed, and the UAW didn't help us with that when they allowed one due to the consolidation of trades and make it into two different groups. So one to have electrical and then mechanical.
Well,
and you pour everybody else in under these groups. And it's, I don't think it was a good idea. So don't think it's a good idea.
I just got a DM from John Pauly on Twitter, my DM on Twitter. He said, that's why I'm going to be a mechanical engineer. Well, let me see. Mr. Pauly, sir, do you know what wattage goes into those suckers? How many volts go into these machines? Don't think it's just be an electrician. You got to do it all on everything. But I seen some near miss accidents in a truck plant. Electrical work, people working on press, you know, one of these press machines back in the day that opened up your hood hinges back. Remember the old hood hinges?
Yep.
Back in the day.
Yep,
they put
yep.
the spring in.
Yep.
That was my first job in the plant, and that's where I got a trigger finger. I couldn't open my damn fingers. I had to work them real good to get them to work. And they said, oh, you got something. I forgot what it was called, but they called it trigger finger. It was first operation. And anyway, I seen it went down. And, of course, they didn't stop the line for that. And they took the hoods on out back and put them on out there with, I guess they had some machine. Good Lord, Twitter's going off. I just turned my Twitter up. Let me turn this.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'll check it. See, that's going to be a pain, this Twitter thing, I believe. There's a lot of UAW people out there. Twitter, I must say.
Really?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. That's why my friend at Blog Talk said, you know, You've been on Twitter since 2009. I said, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, Blog Talk put you on Twitter since 2009. I said, you wouldn't happen to have my password and user or whatever the hell. I don't even know. I didn't know what right. I do. So once go. I started utilizing it, it zoomed up pretty quick.
How do you like it?
I like it because I can get news from all over the place, different parts of the country, and see, you know, you can see what they're thinking.
Well, that makes sense. Maybe.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to reach this show through Twitter, how would I do that?
Now you're going to ask me that. I tweet it, but sometimes they block. You know how they're shadow banning people? You know what shadow banning means? If you, a lot of people like in the media, big media, they tweet stuff all day long, some of them, and they get shadow banned. And that means when they tweet it, maybe 10 people out of 800,000 get it. You know what I mean? Oh, maybe maybe 100 get it. It's very small. Periscope does the same thing. If you think differently, no matter what it is, politics, anything, they will shadow ban you. I don't get half the periscopes that I should get because of that. So there you go on that. That's shadow banning.
Okay.
They don't ban you for, you know, like you would know you're banned. They'll send you a letter and then tell either you're suspended for a week, seven days or 14 days, or you're banned. There's no...
Wow.
And you can go ahead.
Would I tweet the UAW Factory Whistle Show? Is that what I tweet?
No, it's not under that.
No?
It, all the shows are under one banner, and I'll tell you what it is as soon as I if you tweet it.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. I don't know. I know people tweet it out because it comes up on my thing as a retweet, it's called. Huh. Well.
Okay.
I'll keep checking, Scott. I'll keep checking. And I turn my phone off because I'll turn it down and see if it works that way. It makes a noise every time there's a... somebody tweets something to me, or I guess that's what it's called.
Sure.
I still don't know how to use it very good. So.
Well, I'm looking at the show right now, and I see on the left hand side, you know, where there's places to share, and I see this Facebook is a tweet, and it looks like a.
What does it say?
Like a print almost. And the envelope, which would probably be an envelope for emailing. There's a plus sign for more ways to share it. So I'm going to click the tweet. I don't have a Twitter account.
But then you can't tweet it.
Well, it says what's happening right now. Yeah.
What is
it
saying? What's happening?
It says the UAW Factory Whistle Show hosted by Donnie C.
See?
But I got to have... I gotta have a login or username.
You gotta have a Twitter.
And I gotta have a password, and I have to log in.
Okay, you can't retweet it. I don't know what the hell it's under. Okay, so I will look. I promise. And some people are getting it because I'm getting tweets and. All that, so
right.
I did it somehow, but I did it a long time ago. Not a long time.
Well,
man, I did it a while back because I didn't even know I was on it.
Right.
And we've been,
been
on since 2009. This is our 14th year. As a matter of fact, our first show of 2014. Okay, let's get back to the UAW show. Yeah, you can do it.
You talked about Mary Barra earlier, and you know a little bit of her life and stuff, and and her schooling, and that's cool, you know. And she's the first CEO for General Motors woman.
She's a woman.
And that's fantastic. She's considered a heavy hitter in the Fortune 500 club.
I guess.
Also with the club of women that belong in that group.
Club of women, Scott. Women, not woman.
Yeah.
Not club of women.
Women. I apologize.
I'll get emails.
Right. And I don't mean to.
I know.
Anybody
just carry on.
I do not mean to offend anybody.
You're boring me.
What I was talking about was, Mary Barra today, the Detroit News put out a story. She wants people to know General Motors is a tech company. I read that. A tech company. Yeah, you heard me right. It's like, wait a minute. We're in the automotive industry.
Well, that's what this interview was about today, Scott, was they're going to start building or open. This thing is in my way. Let me find it. Mary Barra talks GM's all-electric vision at City Lab Detroit. So there you go. Maybe that's what this is about. Go ahead.
Carry on. And what listen to that, because what she said though was that the 110-year-old automaker, I'm gonna quote this from the paper, said that General Motors company CEO, Mary Barra, wants people to think of its 110-year-old automaker as a technology company by the time she retires.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think to myself. I'm sure we'll play this little piece of what you have there, but I'm just trying to think. Are we not an automotive an automotive company? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Is making cars.
Right now we are.
Trucks?
But you know what, Dick Daniels would say. You know what he would say. They have not learned how to make a vehicle in 110 years. And he's right.
Yep. Well,
Ford hasn't.
I remember, was it?
Chrysler hasn't. Honda hasn't. Toyota hasn't. But they're closer. But none of them have made, and of course, Toyota, Honda in America hasn't been there that long, but.
Right.
The granddaddy of them
all
is General Motors. Go ahead.
You remember as well as I do, I hired in the 85, okay?
Yeah.
You can remember as well as I can in the late 80s, the pressure that Honda and then Toyota and Nissan put on the Japanese, put on the American automobile market back in the mid to late 80s.
Right.
And, you know, we started losing jobs. And the problem was back then everybody thought the Honda was a cheap car. By the mid 90s, Honda and Toyota, of course, Toyota, you know, walked the whole roost.
Right.
But they also were partners with General Motors. Remember, they had a factory out in California, out in Newman, if I remember right. And wasn't that where they had the joint venture?
Yeah, yeah.
So General Motors, I think, unknowingly gave up some of its technology. I think ran with it, Toyota, until they got the what I call the automotive cancer, quantity over quality, because up to a few years, you know, until they had that brake mishap, they were top of quality.
Who is that?
Toyota.
General Motors. Oh, Toyota, yeah. Okay.
Toyota had
General Motors.
No.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, but you know, different cars, different products. You know, nobody can compete with the big three or the D3 when it comes to trucks. Toyota is still trying to make a truck. Honda makes one. I can't know what it's called. I think it's called the Ridgeline or something. I don't even know what it's called. Toyota, of course, is the Tundra. I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Are you ready? I hope you're sitting down.
What's that?
I found out that Volkswagen is going to make a truck here in the States.
Yeah, I seen that.
Volkswagen is going to make a truck. Now, I did put out on Facebook the new Jeep Scrambler. Remember the old, I thought it was a short box truck. I can't think of the name of the, what was the full size? Remember they had a full size truck that Jeep made, had an 8-foot bed on it?
Yeah, and that was.
Was it the Chieftain? Was that the Chieftain?
I don't remember what it was called, Scott. I told you, I can't
remember.
What
it looked, it looked like a Tonka toy. But it was
it did. Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. It was cool. The neighbor down the road has one.
Mm-hmm.
It's setting right now, but
it's a freaking
they're
tank.
Bringing back the Scrambler. Yes, and it was built. It was built well. It was built to last. So when they quit making it, I mean, it had been back in the late 70s.
I don't know when they stopped,
and
but I don't remember. But Volkswagen had a van. It was before your time, probably, on this earth. But they had a you were born.
No,
they had a van. It sucked, but they had a van. They had to learn from that van. So
they're also talking about bringing that back too.
The hippie van? Really?
The hippie van. Well, it's going to be updated.
Yeah. Well, those, I tell you what, those are going expensive whether they run or not. People are buying them up left and right trying to refurbish these things. So, there you go. Maybe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And old Volkswagen.
That's amazing.
The old Beetles back in the day. Where you had to be driving it. It had to be rolling for you to get heat. Back when I was young kid, not a kid, but I was young. You had to be rolling to have heat. And you'd see a lot of them at the stop sign. It'd be frosting over in the middle of the winter.
And wow. Wow.
I don't know what's wrong with them, but one of my friends had one. He said, no, you got to be rolling with this sucker. So there you go. It's not a good winter car anyway, so maybe they parked them in the garage.
I gotcha. Well,
they're building trucks, and people are going to build trucks, and we don't care about, General Motors don't care about market share no more. And that's not how I was brought up in General Motors. In 1978, we cared about market share.
Well, we ruled the roost.
Well, it wasn't until we didn't rule the roost, and all of a sudden we don't give a damn about market share no more. And I don't understand why not. Of course, the vehicles cost a hell of a lot more money. Plus, you guys didn't get a raise for 10 years. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it's
I agree.
And UAW wasn't in business with General Motors against the worker.
Yes.
Well, that should get some emails, some Twitter DMs. Go ahead.
Well, I posted something a while back ago, and this is how bad it was. This was on a local NBC affiliate up here in our neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
They posted that General Motors is looking to fill temporary positions, paying $15.78 an hour.
$15.78 an hour. Wow.
Yes, sir. And it's, you know, I never really, there was not a whole lot there. There's a link to follow to get through. But the position, they started the application period on October 12th. And I don't know how long it's going to run. But I'm thinking that this whole thing has to deal with retirees, contract year coming up, plants that are been adding on. I don't know.
You think retirees, really? You think they want old retirees there telling the young people, you know, how it used to be? Well, not that these young people will have any power to do anything about it, because the UAW doesn't even protect their legacy. What is that noise, Scott?
That is a dog of mine barking. Let me see how
I don't know. The dog knows that you're doing a show. I was just wondering. Scott will be back. There's a young man. I guess he's a young man. I don't know his age. On Twitter, was talking, not to me, but to someone else. And the guy tweeted it to me, and he wants a job at General Motors or Ford or Chrysler. Really bad. He needs a job. He thinks he's going to get, according to this guy, $25 an hour to start.
No.
I said $16 an hour, but I really didn't know. We haven't done a show in a while, so I didn't know how much. So I said $16, maybe a few pennies more, a few pennies less. And that guy said, my uncle used to work at Grand Blanc, and I think this kid works or lives down in Indiana somewhere, northern in Indiana. He said, we visited, you know, they had open houses back, you know, like you guys do. And he went in, him and his mom and dad went in, and he said you couldn't hear nobody if they were 2 feet in front of you. And I said, I know, because my dad worked there, and he was just standing looking at a machine, and he couldn't have been, and I was, you know, like, I was a grown man. I was 18. That was a long time ago, but I can swear he was only about 4 feet from me. It was so damn loud in there. I couldn't hear anything, but machine, big, something was going. I don't know what the hell it was. It was terrible. So I knew what he was talking about. He said, now, some of the jobs didn't look too bad that I could probably do, but I wouldn't do them for no $16 an hour. So there you go. I make a little less than that, and I don't have to put up with losing my hearing. I don't have to. My uncle told me some pretty horror stories in that plant. And I said, well, an assembly line is a lot different than a machine, you know, parts and everything. There's a difference, and doesn't mean one's better, worse than the other, but they consider it worse to be on a assembly line, because back then you were there all the time. I don't know what they do now, rotate, whatever. Maybe they don't think it's so bad. I don't know. But I don't know. and you get 30 years though, you can't pick your job. And that, you know, when you get about 25 years, you think, oh, I want to get that job. And all of a sudden they rip that away from you. You're going to have unhappy worker. I refused to rotate. I wasn't going to rotate, and I didn't. And every plant, you know, I had to go to Lansing. They wanted to rotate, and I said no. Went to Saginaw before they changed over. And while I was there, the truck plant started back up, but I wouldn't rotate there either. So they put me on the worst job, they said, in their area, which was I was boring out something. I don't even know what it was now.
Right.
Easiest job I ever had in my life. I said, I'll retire. Oh, I meant it. You could have all the hours you wanted. And that's the only plan I made over, not the only plan, but up until then, only plan I ever made $100,000+, and I didn't even hurt myself. Great. I'd be home in bed on a Saturday, and they'd call me and say, will you come in for 4? We'll pay you for 8. Hello, I'll be there. You know, I don't live there.
Yeah.
I live in Spitz Creek. And at that time, I did live in a village. And, well, can you be here in an hour and a half? I said, yeah, no doubt. Be there in a minute. So, yeah. They would throw money at you in Saginaw. So it wasn't really a surprise when, you know, they started closing plants up, and that's too bad. Too bad.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And there's really no need for it. The thing that the corporate,
well, they're paying for
was,
it now, aren't they, Scott?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
But the question is, Scotty, well, hold on. The question is, do they care? That's the question. Does the UAW, that they don't seem to care. So does GM care? I don't think so, because they don't even care about market share. Don't you think if they made a good quality product, 90% off the end of the line, 90% after 110 years isn't too much to ask? And they made their own parts, or they made their own everything like they used to.
Right.
Come on, they charge $80,000 for a pickup truck. Come on. Don't tell me they couldn't knock the bottom line down a little bit.
I agree, especially when you're getting parts from South Korea, Mexico, and you're getting parts all over the world. And I understand it's logistics, and they're starting to understand that. All of them are starting to understand that when we get parts from China, the logistics is killing, because it's 3 months, you know, coming across, you know, your supply line is 3 months out. And that, if you get a problem, then it's possible that the next 3 months you're going to have the same problem until you get it cleared up. So
the truck plant had their own cushion room. Did you know that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, upstairs, right? On the third floor?
Yep. They told me when I got 100 years in the plant, I could have that job, because a friend of mine worked up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Get back to what you said about Mary Barra. Do they really care? I don't know, because I think it's a safe assumption to think that they don't, because now she stands to say they want to be known as a tech company.
Yeah.
Before she retires.
But
it sounds like, and I could be wrong, this is just my opinion, but it sounds like it's unfocused.
Gonna give you
some odor. We've lost our focus. Yeah. I mean, she was born in 1961, so she's 55, she's going to be 56.
Yeah.
She was born in 1961, so she's a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's looking at to retire, I would imagine, within the next few years.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll have to go to 62. I don't know if General Motors could
I don't know.
If we set the union, if you set the union aside, because we haven't even talked about the problems they're having and everything that's going on and what's not going on with the UAW and the corrupt and all the money laundering and all that garbage. We haven't talked about that yet. But can General Motors actually afford to keep Mary Barra where she's at? Is the board of directors going to allow her to keep going and take this company the direction that she's envisioning? Because
well,
if you remember last...
I'll ask you. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time the board of directors ever did anything with the chairman?
You're absolutely right. And case in point would have been Rick Wagner going into the bankruptcy. The guy burnt through, $80 billion in less than 3 years. Where were the board of directors at that time?
That's what I'm talking about.
You're absolutely right. I guess the point that I'm trying to make with Mary is I'm sure she's a nice person, and evidently she's smart.
I don't care if she's nice or not. What's that got to do with anything? I don't give a damn if she's nice. I don't care.
I want you to run the – I want you to take this company and blow by all your competitors. I want you to be the industry leader, and not just for tech. I'm talking automobiles. Affordable, high-quality vehicles. Man, I mean, what was that old Merle Haggard song? Wish they built a Chevy and a Ford to last 10 years like it should.
Like it used to.
Yeah.
They did. Seems like they did.
My neighbor's got a CK. A 1972 CK with the two-tone paint. I'm telling you what, that's just a nice-looking truck. It really is.
Hold on, Scott. I'm getting an email now. Hold on. I'm getting an email now.
Uh-oh.
They don't give a damn about your neighbor's CK. I'm just saying. I'm kidding. Starting to put me to sleep here, Scotty. Let's get with it.
All right. Well, Mary Barra needs to take us, and we need to, this year they're going to be, this is going to be the last year, 2019 model year for the current Corvette.
Right.
Corvette's going to be going to a mid-engine. I'm hearing that they're going to offer both. If you listen to the car enthusiasts and go on the internet and just play around a little bit, a lot of these guys are telling people, if you have the money, if you have the means, as an investment, you'll want to buy the 2019 VR1 Corvette. And you're looking at about $125,000. They said, because in just a few short years, that will be
collector
a highly sought-after vehicle.
Mhm.
So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't have 125 just laying around that I could go get a Corvette.
No. Now, if I was single and younger and had dark hair again, maybe I could find it. I'd go borrow
there
it somewhere.
Go. Well, what else happened this last week was another story broke out, and I'm sure... you've heard about it. There's a cabin for a retired UAW leader come out in the middle of some investigations that are going on, and the friends wanted to question the UAW, and some of its leadership about how they're spending some of their money. And if you're not following any of this, we haven't even begun to talk about this. This whole thing is widening up. We have a half a dozen people that are either going to be doing time or paying restitution and doing house arrest or whatever, how that plays out.
That's a maybe. Until something happens, until it happens, and I won't believe it's going to happen. And when they get
I'm a firm believer.
Well, you are. I'm not. I've lived longer than you. I haven't seen one thief in an upper echelon of anything get arrested. From the government to a UAW, or if there was one on the UAW. Allegedly. That's a magic word.
You're right. Alleged, yes.
Until that happens, I won't believe it's going to happen. I'm glad you do. I wish I could, but too many things. Too many things, buddy.
Well, look, there are criminal charges. But there are criminal charges, and I agree with you.
Okay. There's charges.
Will anything come to fruition? Will somebody actually put their butt down on a cold stainless steel bench behind bars somewhere? I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think that's going to happen. So get out. And everybody's gonna sing and tell and paddle on each other now because it's all about, taking care of themselves.
That's probably true. That's usually what happens, but we'll see. I hope it happens. I hope it comes out that new leadership it will be installed. And I hope Dick Dungeon's the main man there. He will kick their ass. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He will.
It's this whole thing is just crazy. I mean, he's got a custom made lakefront cottage. I guess it happened before with another union official. I know Jokic was planning on building a house up there one time.
Wow.
It's just this come out with the same time that they're questioning the now current UAW president about Palm Springs and all the money we spent out there.
Well, there's things coming out that they still got to prove. And I know there's charges coming and or charges on some things, people getting charged, but we'll have to see, Scott. Charges don't mean convictions.
Convictions, you're right. And
as much as we would like to see something happen, are you talking about they bought a radio station out there too?
Oh, Palm Springs. I remember that we bought a radio station somewhere.
It was I think it was in California. I could be wrong. And by the way, we only have 11 minutes. We have almost a full switchboard. Pretty amazing. Oh, good Lord. Push one on your keypad if you have something to say. I forgot all about that. I apologize. They don't tell you no more. And
No.
I was thinking they did, and they don't. I was told that by somebody. So, yes, they don't tell you anymore to push one for some reason. Must have cost them a couple pennies to do that. So now I have to tell you, and we'll have to tell you about every segment. For now on, segments are 15 minutes, Scott. By the way, we have 4 segments in an hour. So about every 15 minutes or so, we'll yak and tell you, push one on your keypad if you want something to say. I know we only have 10 minutes left now. But anyway, they bought a radio station, and there was an ad agency. I think it was California. I could be wrong. I might be wrong. Could have been Florida. It was somewhere in nice weather. I don't know. Anyway, couple of ad agencies, wherever it was, decided to come out and after the UAW had to sell the station for a huge loss. Now, I don't know what they... I can't remember what the price difference was. Anyway, they said they wouldn't have had to sell their business if they would have taken advertisement from non-union people, because we tried to do business with them for hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertisement, and they wouldn't do it. So another ad agency came along, and I guess that's how they do it down there. Back up here, we have salesmen that go around. But down there, I guess they have an ad agency. So anyway, another one decided to grow a set. They came out and said about the same thing, but they were a little bit more right. than the next. The first guy, they were every 3 months, it would have been $500,000 to the station to advertise on their station. But they would only accept UAW, or not UAW, union-backed sponsors. And where they were at, there wasn't that many, very few. And
right.
And they spent a ton of money for this station because it was in a prime, state location, and they just ran it in the
right.
ground. And they did have a meeting. They
yep.
had two meetings about we need to there was a station manager that said we need to start selling to non-union. Nope. No way, Detroit.
Right.
No way. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Now that's a story I read. I remember reading that they had a station when they had the station. I don't know whatever happened to it. I did know they sold it. I don't know how much. Till I read this article, now I don't remember the price. I just don't remember the station now at all.
I think
I
took a loss.
Remember what state?
They took a loss.
They did take a loss. What I read, they took a loss, and
right.
I just don't remember much about it. I'm going to have to come over and talk to your dog, Scott, for Sunday's show. Are you there, Scott?
Unfortunately, I'm the only one. I'm the only one home, so there's nobody here to assist.
I have a dog and a big old parrot that squeals like a pig, and I'm telling you, see that door on my wall? You see that? I shut it. I don't know why.
I got my door shut. Anyway, just saying.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
there's two in your house, I'm sure. Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
Right. Anyway,
unfortunately,
we have to offer our condolences. 48-year-old man who worked in a warehouse at the Ford Motor Company plant. He was found.
Yeah.
He had severe chest trauma. He'd been injured, and he died at Chicago Heights plant.
Mm.
So, we offer our condolences
right.
to this individual and his family, you know, and his brothers and sisters and people who were around that when that happened. That is most unfortunate. I know we're running out of time. Real quick, there was an update. I posted this 2 days ago. Chicago Local 705 is still bargaining with UPS. They're not like some of the other ones that are caving. They have a different kind of rule. I guess if they don't get a certain amount to vote yay or nay, that it goes, they can accept the contract without the blessing of the membership if they don't get that magic percentage mark. I want to say 54% is what I think someone told me. If they don't get the 54%, then the leadership can accept or decline a contract other than what the membership wanted. Chicago Local 705, who represents over 10,000 UPS Teamsters in Chicago, they are continuing to demand a contract with UPS, which does not have concessions and which makes gains for part-timers and, you're going to love this one, retirees. Wow.
Hmm.
You hear that, UAW? You know? So just something to put out there, you know, and they said it is possible that the union give a 30-day notice to the company to cancel the contract extension, which would cause an open contract and potential strike. You're going to love this one. You say it's all about timing, right? In December. Early December.
Yeah. Well.
Now. I know how you probably feel the same way I do. If I was head of the Teamsters and had this, because I remember not too long ago when the UPS did go on strike.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Heard a lot of people.
I think we should revisit that to make a point. See how the UAW doesn't know how to do that. Look, this is how you do something. We'll do it right.
Hold on. When will we do that strike? That letter.
Yeah.
And we don't sell vehicles during the winter time. Come on, Scotty. Unfortunately.
Somebody did post that the National Labor Review Board ruled against organized labor by ruling about some picketers at a hotel. And I saw it this morning. I did make a comment. I said, you know, in this case, it's sad.
Yeah.
But. When is sold out house going to ever take us out on a strike and picket?
No. No. They like our money too. Yeah, I do. I know what you're saying. Everybody in the UAW knows what you're saying. That's a truth.
Exactly.
Jason Coltrip is waving. It's a video. He is shot from Waterford, Michigan. At some rally, hold on, and they're singing, Say You, Say Me, Say It for America, Naturally. Lionel Richie, he said. It's not Lionel. Okay, I'm playing it for him. He's waving his phone in the air that he's watching or listening to us. And he's right, there's a few of them, but he's the only one saying he's listening. Say hi. We all say hi to Scotty and Don. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. Somewhere in Waterford, that looks like some. I see the Michigan symbol. Looks like a Michigan somebody running for office rally, and it looks packed. So,
wow.
Very
all right.
Nice. I just got rid of it.
You know,
it's on Twitter too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. You know that the I was looking when I went through for the show that there was an article written from Automotive News today. And this, you'll love this one. I'll get a chuck fly on this one. General Motors says the Obama-era fuel efficiency rules were not feasible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. We said that all along.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
I can't remember what they want by 2025. I'm seeing if they would say what it was in here. I mean, wasn't it some crazy like 50 miles, 30? Yeah, I think it was 50 miles a gallon or something like that by 2025.
2025 was one of them. I don't know which order. It was huge. It was it is not going to happen. It wasn't never going to happen.
Well, it might if you have that Flintstone car, you know.
Well, yeah.
Just saying.
I'll borrow your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, nope. But, we had 21 seconds, Scott. You want to tell them when the next show is?
Next show is going to be this Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
And I believe it's the fourth. Also, and that's the case, remember Saturday night at 2 o'clock. I think you gain an hour, so you move the clocks back an hour, right?
I don't know.
Fall back, spring ahead.
You fall back.
That's this week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go. So you wouldn't show up late to the show. All right.
It'd have been over with, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see who joins the show next week, this Sunday. And we'll go from there. Everybody be safe. Be careful out there. And first of all, you hunters and people who are driving, deer are out there running. I'm telling you, I'm seeing a lot of dead deer. I'm sure you are out by your neck of the woods.
Jimmy Mattis, I hope you're able to get a deer. I hope you're able to even go deer hunting this year. I really do. And I hope you get a big buck. If not
there
a big
go. There you go.
Something. Some venison anyway.
There you go. Attaboy.
All right. Yeah.
All righty.
All right. You take care of yourself, Scott. We'll see you. I'll probably won't talk to you until after 7 on Sunday, but I'll talk to you, right?
Yes, you will. All right.
Okay. I will have it on for you.
Okay,
buddy.
Will do.
All right.
All right.
Somehow
it says
2 hours. Folks in the switchboard, I know it says 2 hours. I don't know how I think I got played another trick on. It says we got 58 minutes to go. No.
Yeah, that's not right. No.
I swear I only put an hour, I think. All right, Scott, you have a good night, and I'll talk to you later. And we will be having a show Saturday night, Beyond the Mainstream. And my wife's grandfather passed away, but we should be here. No, we will be here. I will be here. I know she will be, so we're good. We're good.
Right.
They're in Florida, but they're coming up here. So he was a supervisor at a plant in Detroit. So I will talk to you later, Scott. You have a great day, and thank you for your condolences. I will pass them along to Cinnamon when I talk to her. She's at her mother. All right. You take care of yourself.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Right. Bye,
and in 14th year of the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Wow.
Good night.
I had dark hair when we started. Scott, see what you do to me? I'll talk to you later. Good night, everybody.